Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Today we begin our second week on the theme of the home as God would have it with a lesson that we have presented some time in the past, but I believe is fitting for our theme today, and that is the relationship of the home and the church. Good homes make good churches, and good churches make good homes. A former Bible teacher of mine told of visits he made into different homes, and both were homes of elders of the church. One had two married sons, and both sons were active in the church. And he came away from that home after talking with the people, thinking how good homes help to make good churches. And during another visit, he asked the elders where he had met his wife, and it was at a worship service. They attended the same Bible classes, married at the church building by a faithful gospel preacher. They discussed how the church had been such a help to them through the years in times of trial and problems and grief, even providing strength and encouragement and comfort and power to face difficulties. And he came away from there thinking how that good churches help make good homes. Well, friend, it's certainly true that good churches contribute to the establishment and maintenance of good homes. And it's also true that good homes contribute to building and maintaining good churches. They're like the two rails of a railroad track. They complement each other. Each is vital and necessary to the other. And while in a sense they're independent, they're also dependent upon one another. After all, they both came from God. They are both divinely planned. One began at Eden, and the other began on the day of Pentecost. And side by side, they contribute to the welfare of each other. Consider for a moment the benefit rendered by the church to the home. We might start by considering actual physical assistance that's sometimes offered. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 16, it authorizes the church to offer relief where it is needed. Money, food, clothes, physical care, they're all within the nature of the help that the church can sometimes offer to those who are in physical distress. But more often, there is the spiritual assistance from the church. Instruction, training, guidance, counsel, direction, encouragement, sympathy, fellowship, and the opportunity for worship, an opportunity for service and for study that the church provides every member of the home. The eldership has the watch care for the souls of all who are members, and this is part of God's plan for keeping brethren from falling away. Consider the benefit the church renders to the children in the home. They are involved in classes where they are taught from an early age. They learn to love and to share, to have respect for authority. They seek higher levels of morality than the sinful world would have them to accept. They learn the value of honesty and purity and self-respect. God assists parents in the training of children through the work of the church. And the nurture and the admonition of the Lord is what parents give to their children. One juvenile judge once reported that he had tried nearly 14,500 cases of young people under 17 years of age. In only two instances did he find that both parents and the children attended Sunday school regularly. And in only 93 cases were the young people attending classes at the time they got into trouble. Friend, don't you see the good influence of such periods as offered by the church? Don't you see why the church urges parents to bring and to accompany their children to such activities? The home and the church working together is of eternal benefit, as well as temporal benefit, to both young and old. But the benefit, you see, is not just to the young. We read in Scripture, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." That's from Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. You see, there is to be the coupling of biblical instruction with practical experience of older Christians. Older Christians can give wisdom to the younger Christians, and younger Christians can take advantage of that wisdom. And then consider the value of the opportunity of worship that the church affords the family. Yes, families worshiping together have a great bond. It is a true saying. Families that pray together stay together. Children are impressed by example as they see their parents active in worship to God. They learn where true value lies. They learn to respect God and His will. No greater heritage can parents give to their children than a strong parental example of faith in God. Such worship opportunities are instances of the church taking an interest in families. This is one reason we should be repulsed at the idea of what is called sometimes children's church, where children are removed from their parents and shuttled off somewhere else, deprived of the opportunity not only to learn as they can by word and by demonstration, but to witness their parents in devotion to God in worship, and they'll follow that example. Yes, the church affords association with the finest people on earth. Yet evil companions corrupt good morals, 1 Corinthians 15:33. And people of the church being together provide fellowship for each other, making being a Christian a joy and a privilege in this life. Good companions encourage good morals. The preventive side of Christianity is realized by Christian association. Many Christians have benefited immeasurably from fellowship with their brethren. At good times and in bad times, Christians can help one another get to heaven. They enjoy the wisdom and counsel, as well as the example of godly people around them. And there are no other conclusions that can be drawn except that good churches that are fulfilling the role that God has assigned to churches help make good homes. But now let us consider how good homes help make good churches. You read a recipe like this sometimes. You'll need one husband, one wife, children to suit yourselves. Next, cream in one cup of love until it is fluffy and mellow. Add one half cup of tears and hardships and stir gently. Whip in a cup of joy, and when smooth, add one teaspoon of thoughtfulness, heartfelt tenderness, sympathy. Add a cup of ambition and two cups of Christianity generally. Bake in a moderate oven and top with kindness and serve repeatedly. Friend, do you see the characteristics of the home that are mentioned here? You see how there is love. You see how there is tenderness. You see how there's tears in times of hardship. You see sympathy. You see thoughtfulness. All of that is involved in a Christian home. Now, there's no passage in the Bible that begins to say the home should be thus and so. But the Bible does give specific and general principles, however. This teaching includes instructions to husbands and to wives and to children concerning the responsibilities and the blessings as well as the privileges of the home. Homes that listen to the teaching of the Bible will be of inestimable value to the church. And to husbands, we read, "Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them," Colossians 3:19. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered," 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. In Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it." And then we read again in Ephesians, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." Friend, that will eliminate abuse of husbands toward their wives. And to wives, the Bible has this to say, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Colossians 3:18. And in Titus chapter 3, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet and chaste and keepers at home, good and obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And in the book of Ephesians, Paul wrote, Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of it. Therefore, if the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands. Friend, I suggest to you how this runs against the grain so much of women today who think they're smarter than God as they run around promoting themselves and promoting what is called the feminist movement. One thing for sure, they're not very feminine, and they're certainly Jezebels as far as the teaching of God is concerned. How things can change so differently if people would only listen to what the Word of God has to say to them. And the Bible has something to say to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long upon the earth. Again, Paul wrote, Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is pleasing to the Lord, Colossians 3:20. And in the book of Luke we read about Christ, how he went down with them, that's Mary and Joseph, and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. His mother kept these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor of God and man. Yes, parents are to be honored. Parents are to be obeyed. Parents are to encourage and lead and guide and instruct their children to follow the way of Jesus Christ. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now listen to me, friend. When you will do what the Bible says concerning husbands, concerning wives, concerning children, you will have a home, the kind of home that God wants you to have, and the influence of that home on the church for good will be tremendous. And when the church is determined to stand for that which is right, to fulfill its responsibilities as God reveals that in Scripture, it would be of great benefit to the home, to every member of that home, to the fathers, to the mothers, to the children, to the young, to the elderly, to everyone. They will be as they ought to be. But now let me ask you this. What of your home? What about your family? What about the church where you attend? You are members of the home, and possibly you are a member of the church. It is not our duty before God to make both of these divine institutions to be like God wants them to be. Friend, when the church and the home work together, good homes will come from it, and good churches will come from it. When the church and the home work together, nothing but good can come from it. But when there's conflict and division in the home and in the church, there will be eternal harm. We would contend before everyone that good churches make good homes, and good homes make good churches, and it should be the design and the goal and the ambition of every Christian to make a home like it ought to be, and certainly to work hard that the church is as it ought to be. Well, this will be our lesson for today. We hope you'll be with us tomorrow. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.